worship you, Jesus.
I will bless the Lord.
Worship you.
At all times.
Worship you, Jesus. Worship you.
And his praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my high tower. My God in whom I will trust. A thousand shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. But it will not come nigh me.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
For he has made me more than a conqueror. In this world you shall have trials and tribulations. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. Keep your eyes upon me, for I am your victory. Keep your eyes upon me, for the enemy seeks whom he may devour. But I am your victory. Do not look to the left or to the right. Do not keep your eyes upon yourself, but look to me. I am your refuge. I am your victory. I am your strength. I am your strong tower. And I have made you more than enough. More than enough. More than a conqueror.
Thank you.
Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? For God is with me.
Yes.
Nothing shall separate you from my love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
We are your beloved.
Hallelujah, Jesus. The Lord will continue to speak. Continue to speak. For it is my love, saith the Spirit of grace, that cast out all fear. Fear has torment. Those that are made perfect in my love have no torment, saith the Spirit of grace. This is the season and this is the hour that I visit you, saith the Spirit of grace. Raise up with a great hope. For I say I come to you to destroy the spirit of hopelessness, saith the Spirit of grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is a spirit that has come to the church to cause the church to seem as if it were victimized by circumstances, victimized by what come against their bodies, victimized by the financial hour in which they live in. But I say unto you, do not receive this hopelessness, but receive the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know this, that he being rich became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich, saith the Spirit of grace. When I said that you were rich, it was not just in finances. It was in mind and in body and in spirit and in every part of your life, saith the Spirit of God. So I say unto you, arise and shake off the spirit of hopelessness. Look to a better day, saith the Spirit of grace. And receive that now in your bodies, and receive it now in your minds, and receive it now in your spirits. Run and not be weary. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Praise
you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, we shake it off,
God. Hallelujah.
Jesus, we thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We shake off hopelessness.
Hallelujah.
We worship you, Jesus.
We walk in
Hallelujah.
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 Jesus.
Thank you.
We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I say unto you, saith the Spirit of grace, choose out among you, see the heroes of faith that stand among you. For like there was in the days of old and days of recorded history in my word, that those who triumphed through the spoken word and took that which I said and conquered nations and conquered insurmountable odds and circumstances. Know this, that there are those heroes of faith, male and female among you, that stand by day and by night with faith in their hearts and a word of faith in their mouth. Take a lesson and follow these, as I said, be imitators of those who follow truth and faith. For know this, that if another book was written, that many that stand on planet Earth would be recorded as having been those who walked carefully after my faith and did exploits, saith the Spirit of grace. Know that there is a war, and there will be a war until the end. A war that will not cease. But know this, I have made you more than conquerors, saith the Spirit of grace. What is that? Yes, sir. For much of my church cave in. They cave in and take on themselves a victim mentality, because the things that they fought for, the things that they've won, will suddenly reappear, come back as symptoms or come back as arguments against the mind. But know this, that I say unto you, saith the Spirit of grace, that none of those things which I have done for you are incomplete. Did I not say that when the wicked one is cast out of a realm, that he'll come back? He'll come back with threatenings and slaughters and accusations and ill-fated words and symptoms of the body. But know this, no matter how many times that he comes, or how many times the argument reappears, whether it's once or a thousand times between now in which you're caught up, taken away, or taken by the grave, it is as I would say unto you now, and reportedly by my word, it is a matter of choice for you, saith the Spirit of grace. His report to you is not my report to you. I'll say that, Father. He said, the greatest one who is surprised by the devil's dominion over you is the devil himself. He cannot believe having understood what has been paid for you and the dominion that has been given to you, that you would let him rule a day, a moment of a day over your life in sickness or disease or in mental anguish, saith the Spirit of grace. For many of you lack. Many of you wait for me. Do not wait for me. Do not wait for me to come and do what I've already done. Many of you wait and will not speak my word. Why will you not speak my word? When you're doing nothing, that's just it. It is nothing. Your hours of complacency or watching TV or going here or going there while you're sick. Why is it that you will not speak my name, Jesus? Why is it that you will not get quiet? For I say unto you, death and life are in the power of your tongue. You ask me why things have not changed in your body or in your circumstances up till now. I say unto you, you hold the answer to that. The why is it? I ask you, why will you not speak my name? Why will you not continually say, Jesus, I take dominion over this part of my life. I choose now to do these things. I choose now to exercise my place of authority. Know this, surprise the wicked one who has been gloating over your life and over your circumstances and over your marriage. Surprise him. Show him that a sleeping giant has awakened and you will take the authority over him, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. 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 I think you got me started this morning. Why don't you have a seat? Glory. Lights, cameras, action. We will have cameras in here pretty soon. So you'll be able to dance on TV. Hallelujah. Well, it'll be on the internet. Hallelujah. Won't that be great? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have I not said that all things are possible to them that believe? Okay. What did he say then? So he's talking. Let me get a mic. Okay. Hallelujah. Since you know that I don't know if I'm just, and I'm being facetious now, the only human being that this happens to. You know I'm not. I'm just being facetious. Any victory I've ever gotten has always been contested. And then contested. And then contested. And then contested. And then later it was contested. And then if it went by a year or two later, it was contested again. Well, I got the victory over. I know you did. But Jesus told you what his whole deal was. He'll come back 20 years later just to see if you're still standing your ground. And if you'll take something, he's better than dominoes. He'll deliver it day or night.
Praise you,
Jesus. The devil will. If you'll take it, he'll give it. But guess what? Even when there's dominion. See, here's the force that we live by. We live in peace. But you know why we live in peace? Because the Bible says Christ made an open display of them, triumphing over them in it. I mean, He not only did He raise up out of the dead, but when He did, He took captivity captive and He absolutely, I mean in the spirit realm, He made an open display of principalities and powers. Now this one that we love, the Holy Spirit, love you Holy Spirit, I do. Man, He is my dearest friend. But He's absolutely, we're going to have a few testimonies in a minute. He's absolutely vicious. He's vicious. If you don't know that side of Him, you don't really know Him. Not to you. But what is it that makes a devil... I don't know if any of you have ever had the privilege. You will. The more power we walk in, they'll scream bloody murder in here, coming out of people. Well, there's a lot more people possessed with devils than you know. It's just that they don't run into power. I'm a little ashamed because I know that there's times people, little things will be tormenting people's lives. I mean chronic things, horrible things. It's not, there's something else there. And if somebody had the power, if Jesus walked in the room, wherever he walked at, it was chaotic in a good sense. People that today that have ties and suits on, they just fall down and go to screaming. But they had horrible things in their life. But that's not you, because you're born again and you're exercising that faith that sets you free. But here's the viciousness of the Holy Spirit. When a devil comes out, what makes him scream? He screams because he's under extreme torment. Something bigger than him is pulling him out of that person. And when the Holy... Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the finger of God has come to you. When a devil is being cast out, and the Holy Ghost reaches in there and pulls that thing out, and it screams, and then it makes stupid threats. I'm going to kill you. Little women. I've seen little ladies that could take the strongest five men in here, if you weren't filled with the Holy Ghost, and just X you out. The adrenaline goes to seven sons of Sceva. He said, we're going to cast them out. Seven sons of Sceva. They said, we adjure you in the name of Him who Paul serves. The Jesus who Paul serves, not us. When that devil got through with them, it stripped off all their clothes. And the Bible says there were seven bare behinds running down the street trying to get away from that devil. But then the smallest one among you who knows Christ can speak the name of Jesus and watch a devil go. Watch him go. Well, what makes a devil go? The Spirit of God. And when it pulls out, here's the viciousness of the Holy Ghost. He'll reach in there and he'll pull that thing out. But over your life, when the devil comes, seeking whom he may devour, and he'll try to contest your victories, know this, that not only is the Spirit a spirit of love and compassion, but that love and compassion for you, it can be turned into a spirit of might and power, so that it gives you the authority to stand. I mean, when he invades your house in the middle of the night, or he's trying to destroy one of your kids on drugs, or take your marriage away by some diabolical scheme, know this, that you should worship God into that place where you begin to feel like, wait a minute, I'm empowered by something that's stronger than me. And the same love that's being given to me now can be exercised against that thing that's coming to contest the truth. And the truth makes us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, all those examples of the old, all they were just an example of, if that same Spirit that dwell in you raised up Christ from the dead, that dwells in you, it'll quicken you. It's talking about that new nature. Samson, that wasn't an example for us of physical strength. That was an example to let you know that your new nature was empowered by everything that Christ is to you, in you, and through you. He told his parents when he come back, he had a riddle. He met a lion in the way. The Bible says he just broke it, just like it was a lamb. Well, they came to kill him. The Philistines came, and the Bible says he just killed them just by the hundreds. One place he caught 300 fox. I don't think he trapped them. I think he just ran them down. took their tails, took a firebrand, took their tails end to end, lit them on fire, and set them through the corn. One place, the Bible says they camped around the city because the city gates had been shut. And they said, we'll get him in the morning when he comes out. Well, at midnight, he just got up, walked to the city gates, picked up the city gates, and the Bible says he pulled the gates and the post by which the gates were fastened to the city. He pulled them completely out of the ground, harnessed them or put them on his shoulders and walked up the hill. And in the morning when they woke up, the whole city, the gate and the posts, the big pillars, the big tree trunk pillars were pulled out of the ground and they were on top of the hill. That's supernatural strength. They came 3,000 of his own men. They told his people, they said, we're going to kill you all if you don't deliver him to us. If you don't deliver him to us. So they went. He was on top of a rock. He was camped out. And they said, you got to stop because they're going to take all of our farms. They're going to kill all our children, women. Come down. Turn yourself in. He said, I'll turn myself in, all right. You can bind me. But promise me that you yourself, that I don't have to fight you, that you, my own countrymen, will not kill me. And they said, okay, we promise. So they bound him. They said, the word said, with three ropes. You talk about Incredible Hulk. You make him mad, insult him, slap in the face, he turns green on you. He got to a place called Lehi. And when he got to Lehi Ramah. When he got to that place, they were taking him along. And the 3,000 Israelites delivered him over to 1,000 Philistines. Take him. When the Philistines got him, they began to shout, we got you now, we got you now. And the Bible says the ropes just melted in his hands. He reached over and the grass was a carcass of a jackass. He reached over, fumbled through it and grabbed the jawbone. And see, here's the Word of God and you've got to believe it. That same Word says that the blood of Jesus saved you. So you can't believe one part. The Bible says that with the jawbone of an ass that he killed 1,000 men that afternoon. Now, can you imagine the kind of might that it takes? There's no way that I could withstand all the men that's in this room. But 1,000 men. 1,000 men in just a few hours' time. Listen, that psalm that Deanne began to prophesy today about who he was, dwelling in that place. He's on every side of you. He's on that same power that Samson used to kill those 1,000 Philistines, that's in you today by the way of the new nature. When David was rehearsing, it leapfrogged people in the Old Testament that were worshipers. When David was rehearsing his eulogy to Saul, and Saul says, you can't do this. He says, oh yeah, I can. Because when the lion, now I studied this, lions are not there now. But in antiquity, you know where Africa comes right up and Egypt's touching Palestine right there, that isthmus of land? Lions were in Palestine. And bear. David said when the lion took one of the lambs out of the flock, he said, I pursued him. And I caught him by the beard. Now, you don't grab a 300-pound lion by the beard. That's the might that's in your new nature. The Bible, he said, I killed him. I caught him by the beard. And I killed him. I did the same thing with the bear. A man can't whip a bear. All those are typologies of the power and the life that now it is the might of the new nature. Paul said to Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Why would we let something whip us when we've got all of everything plus now through the power of the new nature living and reigning on the inside of us? We've been made more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Marsha, you're here? Hallelujah. Tell us what infirmity. Testify. You went through something in your back. You couldn't come to church for weeks. Tell us. Is the might that killed the lion and the bear, is it still alive in the church today?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There was
Can you do this?
A couple months that I wasn't even able to come to church. I couldn't. All I could do is lay down. I was in excruciating pain. I just couldn't take it. I mean, I just, and, you know, but God is our healer. He sets us free, and you just fight the fight. And there's times that the enemies come back to attack me, and I just say no. And Libby and I was just talking about this in the car yesterday. I said, the enemy is going to come back. But I said, it's what you do when he comes that you say no.
Yes.
By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And I said, and if you know the day and the hour, you say May 14th at 7 o'clock. Or,
Hallelujah.
You know, whatever. Say, I was healed. I received. And I use that because the enemy came when Gary Carpenter was here. I had been suffering in the sciatica area because the enemy was attacking me. And that night, Monday night on May 14th, Gary, he didn't even know. He just called it out in the spirit. God is healing sciatic nerves. And both of my sciatic nerves were healed that night.
Hallelujah.
See, that
Jesus.
Was just another attack of the enemy. My back got healed. Then he attacks me in the sciatica. And you just got to say, no, I'm victorious. I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. I'm victorious. I have a son and a daughter who is alive today because I declared the word over them. When my daughter was born, she was born with all kinds of respiratory problems. And she was allergic to everything, and she almost died three times before she was a year old. But when she was 3 months old, I got a hold of the word of God about healing. And I walked the floor day and night with her screaming and crying and bawling, and I would hold her in my arms. And that's when I learned Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and 1 Peter 2, 24, and Matthew 8, 17, that by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. And I said it day and night, hour and hour with her, and kept saying, Amy Lynn, your body has to line up to the word of God, and you are healed.
Hallelujah.
And when she was 13 months old, it was all supernatural. I even called the doctor because I couldn't get her to eat anything or do anything but drink water. She would only take water. I called the doctor. I said, I can't get my baby. She won't take any baby food. She won't drink any of the goat's milk. She just won't take anything. She spits it out. All she wants is water. And he says, as long as she's getting water, she'll be fine. In 7 days of her doing water, she came completely healed and whole. Never again had another allergic reaction or respiratory problem. She was totally healed in her lungs and her system. But when she was either a sophomore or junior, because I don't remember, the devil came back. And he tried to put the same thing back on her. But because we raised her up in the Lord, in the Word of God, it took her 2 weeks. But she fought the fight.
Hallelujah.
And she spoke the Word of God. And today she is still healed and whole, has two little boys, and is doing great. My son, when he was a baby, he was 11 months old, and he got double pneumonia. And we took him to the hospital and everything. And they said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but your son not only has double pneumonia, but he has an incurable blood disease. And he goes, he's going to die. You just need to prepare. He's leaving this hospital dead. And in my heart, when that doctor said to me, I said, that's a lie, because Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Hallelujah.
And my son will live and not die. And I went back into my son's room where he was at in that hospital. When I left that doctor and I walked up to him, he's laying there, a baby, 11 months old. And I spoke to him and I said, Lauren Christopher Michael Stouffer, you listen to me. I tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will live and not die. Ezekiel 16:6 says, when I was found polluted in my blood, I said,
hallelujah,
live,
Jesus.
Blood, live.
Hallelujah.
And he went to Iraq, served God, and he serves God. He has children. He's going forward in the Lord, and he's alive and well. And he left that hospital completely whole in 5 days. Because that's the power of God. That's the power of Jesus. And that's what we have to stand on. Yes, trials, tribulation, struggles are going to come. But we have to stand on the Word. And another thing, we've got to make sure we walk in the love of God and in forgiveness. We have to instantly forgive. Because sometimes our healings are not manifested because we are holding grudges. We're not forgiving. And we've got to walk in God's love, because faith works by love. But we can win. It's up to us. Jesus told us this morning, choose. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Choose life or death. Choose blessing or cursing. It's up to you. I'm tired of the stinking devil just attacking everybody in this church, either financially, physically, in their marriages, in their families, or however. Enough's enough. We need to stand strong in God and be the mighty warriors that God has called us to be. We're not wimps.
Hallelujah.
We are victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. So it's time to stop mauling around in the molly grubs, and it's time to get up, shake yourself off, kick the devil out of your house, kick him out of your life, kick him out of every area, and stand in the gap for your family and see household salvations come. See everybody set free and delivered, because you're the one. God says he puts solitaries in the family. He sets that one in the family to stand in the gap. And I don't care what they're doing, what they're saying, how they're acting. They've got to be set free. They must be born again, spirit-filled, on fire for God, living for Jesus every day of their life. And I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. That's the way it needs to be. And it's time we stand up. And like Pastor said, like the Lord said, punch the devil in the face. You know, let him just flip out, because we are standing up and walking in the power of the Most High God. So stand up. Fight.
Hallelujah. Man. Hallelujah. Religious minds. Let the women stay silent in the church. You're just jealous because she got the anointing. You're just jealous. Hallelujah. That's just one of our intercessors. You know what's so wonderful about you guys? You're understanding that you're not victims. There's a tremendous spirit in the earth today. It's called victimization. And it's also called entitlement. I deserve that. Well, wait a minute. Why? Well, because he's got it. She's got it. Listen. Now, this is what we all have to understand. A matter of choices has brought you to right where you sit today. Everybody. Whether a man's successful, going through a fight, whatever you are, matter of choices, your choices, my choices, has brought each one of us to whatever we are right today. Well, they did that. No, wait a minute. Choices, your choices. But here's the beautiful part. Don't stay there. Let's move on. You can choose to say, I am no longer a victim. The rest of my life is going to be the most healthy. It's going to be the most prosperous. I may only have 5 years. I may be 95, but I'm going to live the next five. And listen, if you're only 60 or 70, you're just a young. Man, I was watching those two siblings this past week. Love on each other. They were reaching over and kissing each other, those two sisters. Any of y'all see them? They were so wonderful. One was 108 and the other was 105. So, man, if you're just real young, like in your early 70s or, you know, you've got a lot of years ahead of you. If you don't like where you're at today, physically, spiritually, the word of the Lord was choose life. Deanne, come here, please. I want you to hear another testimony. I want these guys to tell. I don't know if she's been challenged. It would surprise me if she hasn't with her back. But this time, a few or 6 months ago or so, you were crawling around on the living room floor. Talk about it. Tell us.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Another anointed woman of God.
Bless.
Sorry, man.
Your name.
Oh, this is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. That may be all you
Happy
get.
Father's
no.
Day.
We've got $100 gift certificates to Bass Pro in the back. Repent. Lied. Sorry, Lord. Okay.
There's women's clothes there too, isn't there? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Good morning, fellow soldiers in Christ. Hallelujah. The war rages, but we know who wins. We know who wins. You are on the winning side. You know, we love football around here. And we love to win. I want to tell you that you are on the winning side. You can stand proud that you're on the winning side. That in the end we win. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Bronk wants me to tell you, and most of you know how much church I missed because I couldn't stand. I could not stand. It just hit me all of a sudden and fought the battle, Marcia knows, over a few years and learned a lot through prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit during that time. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit told me through that time, because there was periods of time there when I gained my deliverance, my healing, would slip back into not being able to walk. Gerald came home one day, and I think Houston did, and I'm up walking and cleaning. Now, they were amazed because what was going on was me, is I could get up enough to stumble to the living room and lay over an ottoman, and that's how I ate. That's how I did any book work. I could not stand. So when they come home and I was working, they were amazed. What's happened? And I said, well, I was praying this afternoon. And I said, Lord, what is it? Why? I know that I'm healed. I know your word says I'm healed. So, you know, why? And he said, because you're looking at the natural and not at me. And I said, amen. The moment I agreed with his word, healed. I was healed. And I got up and was walking around. What happened is I got my mind back on the pain. And it took a series of just staying in the word. And then Dave Roverson came. And when he called me up front, Bronk started to tell him. He said, it's her back. And, you know, it's so wonderful that you can believe in a word of God and stand on that. And when the temptation comes again or the symptoms come again, you say, no, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. You know the time, like Marcia was saying, the time and the moment I'm healed. And I can praise God this morning because in that instant, I received total healing and I haven't had a problem again. I mean, he's tried to come a couple of times, but you know that you're healed. But I just want to say this morning that Satan is a liar. He is a liar, and he is completely defeated, completely 100% defeated. the Lord made a spectacle of him, triumphing over him. And all he has is deception. And deception to our minds. And he'll tell you, you are not healed. But where a lot I have understood is that he will come to you and he will start to say, you are not. You are not. You are not. Then he'll bring up, they said you weren't. He'll remind you of 10 years ago when somebody said something that you weren't. And that everybody's looking at you. And they think, and they think, and they think, and they think. And he wants you to, what he wants you to do is you to think. But the Lord says that we are victorious through him. And you were never the reason why you were victorious in the first place. And if we will choose Jesus every time and his word and open this, it's so difficult. Sometimes you just want to keep it closed, but just open your mouth and say, you're a liar. You're a liar. The truth is not in you. My victory is in him. My victory is in the word of God. And he has made me more than a conqueror. And that Jesus Christ walks around with me. The thing about it is if you've ever been in a store and somebody says, can I help you? And you go, oh, I'm with him. You know, oh, I'm with her. Well, when the enemy comes and says, you are, wait a minute, I'm with him. Just wait a minute. I'm with him. You understand? If you got a beef, don't talk to me about me. You look at him because you know he's defeated you. And that's what I live in. I live in the blood. I don't live in my own accomplishments. I don't live in what I have done. I choose the word. I choose to spend time in the word. I choose to spend time there because so it's in me and it can come out of me when I need it. But my victory and your victory is in him. And if we'll just open this mouth and say, you're a liar. You are a liar. And my victory is in him. And he has made me more than a conqueror. We will see great exploits in Jesus' name if we will learn to live in his accomplishments because he has made us victorious. Hallelujah. Amen.
Reuben, come up here. Tell us a little bit. I know this. He doesn't talk a lot with the mic. This is an evangelist. He'll tell me at times, and with no brag, the people he's won out in the world, out there on the softball field, or this, that, and the other. But because he's got a picture, his photograph was posted a number of years ago on the walls in hell, to you know pictures and post offices, most wanted. He was one of those, and you're probably there too if you go to this church, so that's good. But it's a privilege. But the devil tried to kill him last year or whenever, or so many times. But forget all the other times. Tell us about when they said you had recently, you know, when he started losing all that weight, and they said you had heart failure and all that stuff, and then in the middle of the night how he'd come and all that good stuff. So.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm like them. I got in the Word. I can't go by what he says. I mean, yeah, he says a lot, and I take notes, but I take it home for myself. Yes. I want to know the truth. I'm going to battle. I got a family. I got to battle. The devil's real. He will kill you, and he beats you with your mind. You have to listen, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because he will give you a response to every attack you get. He'll give you the answer how to battle with the Word of God. And that's what we need to understand. We need to put the word inside of us. This is a battle. Immokalee is being lost if we don't stand up and fight. Pray the way Paul does. It says Paul prayed for the Israelites. Well, pray for Immokalee that God will give you the desire to go after them. People are dying every day and nobody cares. Me dying means nothing. I'm already dead in Christ. I've already given my life to him. It doesn't matter to me. He's teaching me how to use that new nature that I have. The stronger I get, I can't wait to go to the hospitals and set people free. Not I, but Christ in me. Not I. I have no power. But he is. That new nature that was given to me, when he died, I died also. And I rose again with him. Now I know what standing he gave me. As he was here on this earth, so am I. So are y'all. So are y'all. Y'all need to just believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. It's real. All the word of God is real. You have to be careful when a preacher's preaching that he doesn't get you under the law. You're not under the law. You're under grace. Jesus accomplished everything for us. Everything. Everything was done by him. He didn't fall short of anything. Anything. No sickness. Listen to the TV and say, well, you got this and you got this. That's a lie. That's a lie. Christ paid for it all on the cross. He did pay for it. We don't have to receive nothing from nobody else. I got a new heart. I got a new body that was given to me from Christ. Everything. Everything. You don't even know the times I argue with the doctor. He says, Reuben, you have to take your medicines. You don't understand. I don't care where you went to. You don't know my God. We argued straight out. And he would tell me, look, you're dying. You're losing your kidneys. He told me, you'll be in dialysis next week. I said, no, I won't. He said, what do you mean you won't? Because I have a healer. A month later, I came back to visit. He says, man, you're still here? Of course. Where am I going? He said, I scared you. I said, no, you didn't scare me. I said, I pray for your salvation. I pray for your salvation. And that's why they look at me strange. Even when my wife got sick, I'm not afraid of the devil. I can't wait to understand all of it that God has for us. All of it. The way our brothers were, their shadows would fall on them and they were raised and healed the sick. I can't wait. Can't wait because this is coming. This is coming. Whoever wants to follow Christ, listen to me. Read the word. Read the word. It's real. Everything you read, believe it. Believe it. Believe it. It's real. Don't go by what we say. You read it yourself. Let the word judge you. Let the word tell you how to live, what to do. There's people out here that need salvation, guys. Help us. This is a war for us. When Christ comes, let us come up there and show all of them mockery. Here, this is what we did, Lord, because we love you. This is what you gave us. That's the way we are. You know, I talked to my brother over there. Yeah, the doctor told me that I had an 80-year-old heart, an old man heart. Okay? It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. There's grace for it. There's grace for it. Christ paid for it on the cross, and I tell him the biggest battle for him is the mind. The enemy comes and puts stuff in his mind. I said, listen to the word of God. It'll tell you how to defend that. I said, and spend your time, especially the book of Romans, where it identifies both men, the one in the flesh and the one in the spiritual. It tells you how to fight. Use the word of God to fight. And listen, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He'll give you the answer to minister to anybody. I've ministered to people through abortion, with guys. Talked about abortion. What does a guy need to know about abortions? By the time it was over, he gave his life to the Lord. Hallelujah. To the Lord. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be careful. Because the Holy Spirit is here with us right now. Ministering to us. Encouraging us. If you just pray, I don't have that. I don't feel like it. Give me that hunger to go into you, Father. Give it to me. He will. He will. He will give you that hunger to go into God. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Listen to nothing better than this life when you get snatch somebody from hell and get him into heaven. Nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. At least if the devil's going to attack you, might as well attack him back. Take what he loves, wants to hurt. Snatch it from him. Snatch it from him. I look for trouble. That's my problem. I really do. I really do. I can't even go out to the store because I minister. I can't. That's my life. That's my whole life. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to lead somebody to the Lord. And I have that gift that the Lord gave me. That I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I don't save nobody, so I'll open my mouth, let him bail me out, and they get born again. That's it. That's it. That's it. And that's what it's all about, guys. It's coming. It's coming. Whether you're ready or not, it's coming. You know, he doesn't want somebody to just say, well, I'm a good person. No. He wants you to fight. He wants you to fight. Go into all the world. Let them know who you are. We're the sons of God. Stand up like a son of God and know who you are. Encourage the believers. Strengthen the non-believers. Get them all strong. This is a fight. The end time is coming. We all know the end time is coming. That's the word of God. He told me, it's coming. It's coming, Reuben. It's time. It's not about, we know we got our bills. But priority number one in God's kingdom is the lost souls. I used to pray. I get up at 3 o'clock every morning to read the word of God because I want to. Do you like him? No. I want to sleep. But I love God more than my life. I love the word. It's truth. All this is truth. Here, if God is coming, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to fight. There's a devil that's hurting too many people. Look around. Believers are getting hurt. Not just non-believers, but believers. Look around. It's time to stand up and fight. Let's win a mockery for Christ. Forget about sicknesses. That's going to go away because there's grace for it. Just get up and fight and say, hey, that's a lie. And just keep going. It don't matter what doctor says. It don't matter what anybody says. You have the word of God. You have the word of life at your house. Read it. Read it. Nobody's going to care about your family more than you. Pastor may love you, but he doesn't have the time to spend the time with your family. You believers, stand up. Father, stand up. Look, be men of God. Really, be men of God. Cheat nobody. Treat everybody fair. Let them do you wrong. But at the end, we win. We win. It doesn't matter. That's all I got to say. Hey, if anybody needs prayer, I'll be with them.
Now, heard from the men, boy. Glory to God. What he was... Now, one of our fathers. You know, everything he said was so right. And I just want to say, when he was talking about do what you need to do, stand up. You know, so many people in the church at large want their prayer request. Now, don't get me wrong. The word does back up us praying for one another. But the first line of defense is you. And most people's prayer request is wanting you to do their praying for them. You're really the one that's supposed to get sickness off of your body and off your life. Amen. You're really the one that's supposed to change your finances. Now, I can ask you, pray for me. And you guys know I say pray for me. And mainly my asking you to pray for me is because I'm going into new territory. And I'm looking at new devils that I've never looked at before. And I appreciate your prayers. My trials are no bigger than yours, because wherever you're at, it is facing you down. But a lot of the church is wanting people to pray for them when it's not, you're the one that's supposed to be doing it. It's your authority that'll change it. It's your. Now, don't not come to grace lines, because if I've got anything, it'll help you sometimes. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, it'll push you over the edge. It'll get you over the edge sometimes. But you do what you're supposed to do and face him down, and praise God, things will change. They'll change. Do you know where they change at? You doing your part and him doing his. Now, like I said, my trials have never been any more than yours. You know, I love to physically exercise. I run, I lift, I do all kinds of stuff when I get my prayer time in. But at times in my life, I've had some horrible injuries. I mean horrible. And Candy's watched me with these things. One of the things I found out, and I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this when he was, you know, if you've ever heard any of his old tapes, he said, when I was a young Baptist boy laying on the bed of affliction, you know how he goes into that. He's just a real young kid. He's laying there confessing the word, because he got a Mark 11:23-24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall have them and you shall receive them. He got that. And he started confessing those things, and he was sick, and the doctors kept saying, telling, today he'll die. He won't make it through the day. And he'd hear the doctors tell his mama that. But he was only like 12, 13, 14 years old, and he got this revelation, and he's believing God. Well, he was laying in bed confessing the word, and one day, while he was confessing the word, the Holy Spirit said to him, healed people don't lay in bed. And he said, when I chose to move my body, and as soon as I got out of bed and started moving it, he said, the power of God come on me, and healing came into my body. I have been at times, I've been able to, from one week to the next, I'd be running 5Ks and having great times, or lifting 400 pounds and then being so destroyed that my chest was blown out. I would go in as soon as I could get the pain at a tolerable level. Literally, I've struggled. I'd go back in from guys watching me lift 400 and something pounds to going back in to just taking the bar and just, that's only 45 pounds, and just, it would be agony. But I would just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And that's all I could do. But once you begin to, by faith, when I'd struggle, when my leg was like, I didn't think I could walk again, and I would just been running, I'd get out and walk around the block, and I'd walk 3 miles like this, just like, I praise you, Jesus. Whatever you can do, if you do it by faith, it'll change your whole world. But you've got to do something first. And as you do whatever you can do, God's Spirit comes on you, and it'll change. It'll change. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Why? Why? Because faith without works is dead. Everybody say it. Faith without works is dead. Meaning if you don't do what you can do, well, I say I believe. Okay, well then do it. Start doing it. I can't. Can you walk to the mailbox? Well, that's a challenge. Well, just walk to the mailbox and then walk back. And then walk a little bit further the next day. Move them. Do what you can do. Well, I'm depressed. Could you just sing a little jingle? No, because I'm so... Well, sing one. Well, there's a tear in my beer and I'm crying for you, dear. Well, can you keep that same tune, but pray in the Holy Ghost with it? I remember that guy telling me, he got up at Dave Roberson's, and he said he was so depressed, and he could not pray in tongues at all, but he believed what Dave said. So, he said he couldn't pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit said, well, just pray, just put it to jingles then. So he said he started going down in his basement. And all the only thing he really, really knew real good was old Elvis songs. So he'd take those old Elvis songs, you know, and he'd just start doing those, oh, I'm all shook up, and he'd just, and he'd come out of that, and now he's preaching the gospel. He took fear and depression and took old songs and put the Holy Ghost lyrics to it. And somehow the Holy Spirit was saying, get him out of this mess, oh Lord, get him out of it. Shake him up, shake him up, shake him up. He's all confused by religion, but take the religion out of him. He thinks he is a victim. Hallelujah. 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 Well, fathers, I'd love to have you come up here and all that good stuff. And why don't you do that? Come on, fathers. Any of you fathers, and even if your dog had puppies and you have, no, just come on. Just come on up. I love this guy. This is a son-in-law of mine. I love him the most because he gave me Aubrey Faith. That's the same way about Gerald. He loves this guy, but he loves him most because of the little ones he gave. Hallelujah. Come on, fathers. Good-looking bunch. Hallelujah. I'm so proud of Victor. He's got all of his kids here this morning. Most all of them. Is they all here? Or, yeah. Brought them himself. The different guys. If we went around, and we don't have time, but if we had the mic for each one of these guys, they each could tell you a story. And I'm not talking about a lie. I'm talking about a real life story. That they are here today because of choices. Choices they've made. A lot of them recently have gone through horrendous trials. But guess what? These are, what did the Holy Spirit say? Look around, choose. These are our heroes. They're our heroes. Amen. A father is not just somebody that conceives a child.
As soon as you go through that little change of life at about 14 years old or maybe even younger, you know, you can produce. You can produce a seed that makes a child. That don't make you a father. There are thousands of little kids conceived. Even in this city, they didn't have a father. All it was an act to them. Nevertheless, God loves that little child. Fathers are men that will mentor their children and change their lives. And I'm so glad to be a part of this group of heroes. I appreciate you being up here, men. God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. Bless you. Bless you. We want to honor them. I want to ask you to stand, and I'm going to pray for each one of these. I'm just going to touch them as I go down through the line. Would you pray with me, and let's just bless these men this morning and thank God for each of their lives. Hallelujah. Just stretch your faith this way. Father, I bless each one of these men in the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. As I lay my hands upon them, I pray that in the days ahead that the grace and the glory will be blessings upon them. Lord, let the Word of God be strong in their hearts and in their minds. I pray that they will see and that they will hear and that they will know and understand the hour that we live in. As Reuben said, that Lord God, that Immokalee has changed and that Lord, that they are part of it. That people that are going to hell will be transformed. Lord, teach them and show them how to move in their homes and in their marriages, in their lives, I pray. Father, I bless their children. I pray that all their children be born again. And I pray that all of their children are healthy and full of life and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let the umbrella of Your grace and glory give them life and victory in the days ahead. And we bless them and we bless this day over their lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you give them a great big hand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to, just a moment, we won't be around a whole lot longer. I'm going to ask you to just consider what He'd have you to bless the church with today. And I thank You for listening to His voice when you hear My voice. And I pray that you will just open up your heart and listen to the Holy Spirit, to whatever He says during this season, to bless the ongoing. Haven't these testimonies been fantastic today? Hallelujah. Now, these men, like Reuben said, they have their own, you've got to have your own personal life and it with Christ. And it's not me, but you're hearing me as one of, I'm just one of the elders. But isn't it great that we have this place to come together and get encouraged? We are a church. So let's support the church and let's support what God is doing here through our giving. And we appreciate the spiritual part, and the giving is just as spiritual as raising the dead. It really is. It's just as spiritual. So, Father, I'm asking You right now to speak to our hearts. We believe that we receive all the monies necessary, and we bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe this is it. I want to bless You in prayer. Father, I bless them. Thank You for what they're about to give. And as we go out of here on this Father's Day, most especially, we're so thankful that You are our Father. I thank You for everybody that is here. Lord, I thank You for the intercessors that will continue to pray, minister over this house, and Lord, everyone going forward in You. We bless You in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand? Would you greet one another as you come forward, as you have something in your hand? Bless the Lord with it and bless each other. Amen.